Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition, and I'm wrapping up the first hour with what I think is a very important update from Maple Gold Mines. This company I have been getting a number of questions on recently throughout summer and even before summer, as the company has moved through a fairly large drill program that they had underway. Who I have on the line with me is Fred Spiedel, the VP of Exploration, and Matthew Horner, the President and CEO. As a quick note, Maple is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MGM and on the OTCQB under the symbol MGMLF. Guys, what I first want to do is talk about, recap what has been done this year, first and foremost in terms of drilling. Matthew, I understand that about 22,000 meters of drilling has been completed. Can you recap what the strategy was coming into this year and how you've accomplished these goals?
Yeah, thank you, and thanks for having us on. This year, we focused on expanding the known resource and then taking some wildcat shots outside in a long strike to the west and to the east in some of the geology that looked promising given where the existing resource sits. So we divided the spend and the drill program about 70-30, 70% in the known resource area and 30% outside that area for more greenfield type exploration. We were successful in completing 22,000 meters of drilling, as you pointed out, under the leadership of Fred Spiedel, who is our VPX. We had a number of very interesting hits where we've started to line up where these higher grade clusters start to connect. We've identified a new area, a new zone called the Nika Zone, which is outside the wireframe of the existing resource estimate. So look to see that resource estimate coming out in the next few months on the back of these 22,000 meters that we've drilled. So we've accomplished on the drilling side what we set out to, pretty much. We closed two financings with the Caisse de dépôt and the funds out of Quebec, and then did a flow-through financing in May to top up our treasury with a group out of Vancouver.
Okay, so before we get into what some of these drill results meant moving forward, I do want to talk about those financings and, more importantly, what kind of run room you guys now have money-wise after getting this drill program completed into next year.
Sure. Those financings were a total of $6.5 million in hard and flow dollars, four of hard and $2.5 in flow. Those were without warrants at 24 cents and 30 cents, respectively. Previously, the company had taken on significant warrants to fund the company's operations. And luckily, we didn't have to give out warrants to complete those rounds. We have now, with some adjustments to the company's spend and overheads, adjusted things so we have run room deep into 2019. Towards the end of Q3 at this point, without need to raise any additional capital now at these very depressed share prices that are being experienced by not only ourselves, but most other names in the space.
Yeah, I think we all agree that the market has been tough this year, especially for the junior companies. And one thing to note is I've gotten a couple emails asking, what about some of the insider buying in the company? All I can do is point everyone to that Canadian Insider. And it does show that the company, the management, has been buying shares throughout the year. And everyone needs to understand that not all the time companies can be buying their shares. And quite frankly, just any insider buying I do find encouraging. Fred, let's switch it over to you, though, and talk about some of this 22,000 meters of drilling. As Matthew said, some of it was expanding the known resource, and some of it was taking these wildcat shots, greenfield drilling. Talk about this Nika zone that was discovered this year and the potential importance.
Yeah, the Nika zone are important for us in the sense that the resources that were defined there, they're not part of an existing conceptual pit, and they're also not part of existing wireframes. So essentially, those ounces that we'll have that we've defined there will be additions to the resource, and they're important also in the sense that they confirm the concept that we were working with all along, which is that we're basically looking at a single intrusive hydrothermal system, and that a number of the gap zones between the existing conceptual pits could eventually be closed by additional drilling, because the gap zones, in a general sense, have a much lower density of drilling than the main resource areas. I think it's also encouraging to note that a number of the intercepts that we got in the Nika zones, one can see on section that there are no additional holes to test either the up-dip or the down-dip continuity of them. So that means that it leaves significant room for additional drilling in 2019 to not only confirm these new zones, but also to expand them and to provide not only starter pit potential, but also depth potential for eventual underground mining operation in combination with open pit, because that seems to be where things are going at the present point in time. Like, we're likely to look at the combined open pit and underground scenario going forward.
Okay, that's interesting. So now, looking at kind of this combined scenario, do you think that further will enable you to potentially tie these different deposits together? As you mentioned, there are these gap zones that really just don't have the drilling right now to be tied together. Is that what you think you could be seeing coming next year or the next couple of years?
I believe so. In many cases, yes. We certainly have in our preliminary proposal for the winter 2019 drill program targeted a number of these additional zones. Like, there are instances where we have relatively high-grade areas in one conceptual shell and then a gap, and then some other high-grade areas in another conceptual shell that are currently separated by a lack of drilling. Like, some of those areas have drill hole spaces of something like 200 meters, so there certainly is space to have additional Nika zone type discoveries going forward, and we will be focusing on those.
Now, what about the potential of putting some sort of economics around this project? I understand, again, that there are a lot of different deposits, and there's still work to do to tie these deposits together, but any idea of if we can start to see some economics here?
I think by the time we'll have completed our winter 2019 drill program, we'll have a fairly good understanding of what exactly we're working with, not only in the resource area, but also in the greenfields area. And as Matthew mentioned earlier, I think at that time we can start getting ready to begin a PEA study by the end of 2019 to better address what the economics may be. And again, depending on the results of the next resource update and also the 2019 drilling, we'll have a better idea of which areas we think are most appropriate for an open pit exploitation and which areas are probably best looked at from an underground point of view.
Okay, now again, this open pit and underground actually ties into another question I got, where in one of the recent news releases, there was a mention of a halo of gold mineralization in the porphyry zone. Can you maybe explain a little bit more what this halo means to you from the geological standpoint?
Yeah, I think in essence what we're getting are structurally controlled higher grade chutes, if you wish, or higher grade zones that have halos or envelopes of somewhat lower grade material, part of which will obviously contribute to the economics of the system. And we're seeing that not only in the porphyry zone itself, but also in the new Nika zones, which are geologically very similar to the porphyry areas. So again, higher grade zones that can be several tens of meters wide, with a halo that, including the higher grade zone, can be up to 100 meters or more wide with you know, depending on the cutoff that you use, you'll get different widths, obviously.
Yeah, that is very fair. Matthew, back over to you. There was another comment that you and I chatted about a few months ago, talking about the potential of bringing a strategic partner into this project. And we do all need to understand that this is a large project in Quebec, one of the largest defined resources in Quebec. Can you update us at all as to a strategic partner, how they might fit into the overall corporate strategy?
Yeah, I can say a bit on that. The overall corporate strategy is to look at using another group's balance sheet to advance the project. So you take dilution at the project level, but you don't need to finance the company at the corporate level to provide the necessary capital to bring the project forward. So there are a number of strategic partners that are wildly interested in adding ounces to their portfolio in stable jurisdictions. Of course, we have over 3 million ounces in Quebec, which is arguably the most stable jurisdiction on planet Earth, given a lot of the tax breaks and financing is available from the government and all the rest. So that type of strategic alignment is something I've done in the past when I was with Ivanhoe, and something that I consider to be part of my mandate here as well. I guess that's probably all I can say about that at the moment. And we continue to work hard on finalizing discussions there and getting to the point where we can talk about it in a more public forum.
Yeah, and one thing to consider is that Quebec is still looked upon very favorably by a lot of mining and resource companies, and we've even seen some recent deals happen in and around Quebec. So something to consider for all those investors. Just a final comment here, Matthew. Wrap us up with understanding all these 22,000 meters that you guys have drilled and still having cash to go well into next year. What is the strategy that you can share with our listeners and investors?
Yeah, I'm although the markets aren't performing or supporting us at the moment, nor are they supporting many in the space, I remain wildly optimistic about our future. We have an incredible project in the best jurisdiction, as I said, anywhere. We have an incredible team on the ground that's continuing to add value following the discovery model. And moving into 2019, I think we have, with the gold market coming back, I think, hopefully over the next bit, an option on the gold price, discovery, updated resource estimate, and closing on working with a strategic to bring our project forward in a very meaningful manner. So I remain convicted and committed to this project, to move it forward with the team, and very excited about what's coming to the fore.
All right, there you have it. A general and broad overview of Maple Gold Mines. Again, just a reminder, I am a shareholder of this company, and I'm just trying to get the information out to everybody and get your questions answered. Please keep emailing me with your questions at fleck@kereport.com. I do appreciate everybody listening to the first hour of the weekend edition. I hope you have enjoyed all of our commentary on the radio and on our website throughout the week. For everyone in Canada, a very happy Thanksgiving. We will be back all next week, continuing on with company and market updates. Matthew, Fred, thank you again for your time this weekend, and have a great weekend.
Thank you too, and happy Thanksgiving.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.